I miss the little offertory music, don't you? I'm always sometimes just kind of waiting like, da 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 da, you know, at least a half. I miss those days sometimes. But there's good days ahead.
That's right.
All right, you got a decision to make tonight. Are you going to receive?
Yeah.
Because the word is supernatural.
Amen, yes.
And it will work. The word works. You know, I was thinking about, we're going to talk more about faith tonight, a little bit different kind of, you know, last week wasn't, it's not the typical, like, faith message, but, you know, faith really just comes down to trust. You know, when you're, when you've got little kids and you're doing things, you know, you're doing the whole toss them up in the air. We always like to do it at our house when the kids were little, told shake the baby, so,
yes.
No, we weren't shaking the babies. But we hold them and do this trick, right? And they, that was just so fun. Like, they were having fun because they trusted me. I didn't like pick them up. Oh, sorry. Whoops-a-daisy. Right? No, it was when I picked them up and I did shake the baby, we had fun because there was trust there. You know, they didn't have a bunch of scriptures memorized. Right? It was just a trust. And faith comes down to trusting a person.
Amen.
I mean, let me say that again. Faith simply comes down to trusting a person.
That's right.
That's it. We don't need to, you know. Mr. Gary was talking about, I remember being down at Rhema, and somebody gave their car away, and they got a car. Somebody gave them a car because God told them to give a car. And so what did they do? Somebody else was a student, gave their car away, and they walked 6 months.
Yeah.
Right? Well, their trust wasn't in the person God. Their trust was in, well, I'm going to do this, flip this lever, do the same thing this person did over here because they got this result, so I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
Well, that's not faith. That's faith in a process, not a person. There's a big difference between that,
yeah.
Right? That's why a lot of these TV people on TV, you know, you give me $1,000, this blessing will come upon you. Bull! No, it's not my faith in doing an act, but it's obedience and trust in a person. See, that's where Abraham can go and about ready to sacrifice Isaac because God told him to and he was testing him. Because his trust was in a person. I mean, did you really know that in that time when God told Abraham to do that, did the scripture says that he knew that even if he did it, that God was able to bring him back from the dead. Right there on the spot. That's how much trust Abraham had in God, right? And maybe that's why his name is in the Bible and mine's not. Right? And besides, he was born like, what, 4,000 years before I was. So, you know, give or take, what's 3,000 or 4,000 years here and there, right? But it's a person. And so I challenge you tonight, is every scripture we read tonight, not just reading as religiously, but seeing it as a person speaking to you and I. Right? So when we read the scriptures, it's not something that we just look at and say, oh, okay, that's really good. But seeing it that he is divinely speaking to me, and I dare to believe what I'm reading. I know that's just crazy talk. All right? A lot of churches, they don't talk like this stuff. But I dare you to do that. And also, too, every time the word is spoken, whether you read it, whether you speak it, whether I'm speaking it, whether you're listening to it in the car, whatever, you are getting God, putting God on you. Right? I mean, I've said this before, you know, we're so sensitive to, if I would say a swear word right now or began to say obscenities right now, every person would, oh, pastor's cousin. Oh, this is awful terrible. I'm never coming back here again. But you know, when I speak the word, or when you hear the word spoke, sometimes people are just like, right? Or if you watch something filthy on TV, see, you know, you'll notice that, right? Because your flesh is triggered by those things. But your spirit man, excuse me, your spirit man is feeding on those things. And so... Let's look at Genesis chapter 1. And while you're turning there, I'm reading Hebrews chapter 3. We talked about this last week. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, and it says, by faith, that is, this is amplified now, with an inherent trust. Everybody say trust.
Trust.
See, I mean, there have been times where I've read, sat there and read Mark 11, 22 through 24, probably like sat down and read it 50 times, and then another day or two later, I'd read it another 50 or 60. I mean, I would read it. And that's good. And that's good to meditate on those things. But that's not going to build me faith. It helps getting my mind thinking. But again, it's trusting in a person. That's why Jesus can speak to the fig tree right before that and say, no fruit come from you from this day forward. And then the disciples are like, looking. And then the next day, Peter's like, doing this trick, right? He's looking. Hey, guys, guess what? That tree. Right? Jesus didn't go back and go, well, I hope this worked. No, why? Because the trust was in the Father. I mean, he had such a trust. I was listening to somebody, too, talking about the Lord speaking to him about his 3 days in hell. Yes, Jesus went to hell for 3 days. Okay, we read in Ephesians, we read another place, he actually went to hell. Where did he get the keys from death, hell, and the grave in Revelation chapter 1? He went to hell, right? He got the keys from the devil, right? And so while he was down there, his whole faith, he said, while I was in hell, my faith was in the Father that at the right time he would resurrect me. You know what most people would do, and probably me, freaking out, right? And Jesus was still focused on the cross, right? Because what was he doing? He was in between the two. It was symbolic. I'm way off tonight. That's okay. But while he was on the cross, it was symbolic of he was in sin, right? He was in between thieves. He was in between sin. He didn't commit sin, but he was in it. He was placed there on our behalf. While he was on the cross, he was still focused on the Father. He was still trusting in the Father. What did he do? Today, I will see you in paradise, right? He told the thief on the cross, I will see you in paradise. Why? Because he knew that thief on the cross would be there before Jesus got there, right? Because he knew that, all right, once we're both going to be dying here about the same time, he's going to go to paradise because he recognizes me as a king and the Son of God. So he is at that point speaking with his mouth, right? Romans 10, 9 and 10. He is there into paradise, which was the holding place for the saints before Jesus showed up. So this thief on the cross was going to be in paradise waiting for him until Jesus defeated the devil. After 3 days, he kicked the hoo-ha out of hell, destroyed hell, leveled it, went up to heaven, and then led captivity captive, like the Bible talks about, into the throne of thrones and the Holy of Holies, which is where God was at, okay? Jesus was completely focused on the cross. On the cross. And then what was the only time Jesus began to panic? Was when Mr. Gary talked about, the presence left, right? That trusting, comforting presence. Jesus was, I mean, can you imagine that? I mean, of course he was dealing with all these physical things, but this comes down to the measure of faith Jesus had that, again, we're all aspiring to get there, but, you know, I mean, it's Jesus we're talking about too, right? I mean, come on. You know, even though he was a man, he was God, he operated as a man. But when he was on the cross there, can you imagine that? He's got a steel spike through his feet, one through each hand or his wrists, and he's still there. That would have been enough for me. All right, I'm done. I'm like, okay, I'm panicking right now. I'm flipping out. But Jesus is still getting people saved, still ministering to people all around him on the cross, and the time where he is. I mean, I thought all that stuff would have been enough to send, you know, most of us over the top. But when the presence left him, why have you forsaken me? Right, that was a point of your presence left me. And that temptation of fear to come on Jesus at that point. But he's still focused. Ever since, by the time, even before he was born, the presence of God was all over his life, right? Yeah. The angel's there with Mary, everything, all the way up until, I mean, until right at the end. And then the presence left him. Why? Because God could not be where sin was at. Why? Because of the presence God left and sin was imposed upon him. Our sin, you and I, our disobedience was upon him. And Jesus was still trusting him. He still trusted him on Ephesians when he went to hell for 3 days. He was still had his trust in him. How many would still trust God? If you're like, I mean, if you died and you're in hell, I mean, every fiber of your thinking, your physical body, everything, the stench, the screams, the everything that's going on there is screaming, you have missed it. And he could have had a chance to give up even in that 3 days. See guys, it wasn't the victory came when he went through hell and God pulled him out, Romans 10, right? It was the right arm of God that delivered him from. And it wasn't until he presented his blood to the mercy seat of God that it was signed, sealed, and delivered at that point, right? He was still tested in hell. You think, oh, well, Jesus died on the cross, it was all over then. No, he was still fighting a spiritual battle in hell until, and he still had to trust in his Father through that whole time in hell until he was, bam, delivered out of hell. I mean, I've heard stories, and the Bible talks about things that people that have been there. You know, I mean, it's like taking a sledgehammer to your leg and then multiplying it times 1,000. You know, and that's your whole body all the time. It's terrible, awful, okay? And for Jesus to be able to focus during all of that, we have no idea. You know, I'm just, when I get to heaven and I'm like face-to-face with Jesus, I'm going to be like, wow. And then I'm going to say it backwards. Wow. And then I'm going to say it frontwards. Wow. And then I'm going to say it backwards again. Wow. Right? Because I have no idea. I'll just see what in Scripture, what is it. I just want to sit down and just spend a whole like decade just picking his brain like, what was going on there? You know, like you got all these questions like, wow, that's amazing. And so we've got Jesus who his whole thought process, his whole body, his whole emotions, everything that was going around him was screaming no, and it all came down to trusting a person. I didn't bore you with that, did I?
Nope.
Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Religious people are afraid of God. I said religious people are afraid of God.
Amen.
What's the thing that got Jesus to try to stone him and throw him head first over a cliff? What was the thing that got him in trouble? Was because he claimed himself what? They thought that he claimed himself to be a son, right? That he was a lineage, and he was. You and I are also. And they just panicked and flipped out of our... Oh, I'm sorry. It was in the Pentateuch that said that it went down to limit the lineage that Adam was the what? The Son of God. Didn't you and I come from Adam and Eve at some point down the road? So guess what? If he is a son of God, then you are a daughter or a son of God also. Because it's in the Bible, and it was there when Moses wrote it before they all showed up. But that's religion, being hypocrites, and want to condemn you of something that the Bible already says belongs to you, right? The devil wants to attack your relationship with him today. I'm telling you that right now. Just get it through your head. Anything about you having any relationship, any righteousness standing with God, the devil will attack it. That's why he attacked him when he was in the wilderness. What did he say? Well, if you're the Son of God. That's the first thing that came out of his mouth, right? If you're the Son of God, right? Why? Because he's trying to break trust. If he can get Jesus to not trust, not to believe his assignment, then he's got him defeated right then and there. And of course, Jesus didn't fall for that, right? Because he knew that he's a liar from the beginning. And we see him quoting the book of Isaiah, saying, I beheld him fall like lightning, right? I saw my Father kicked the living out of him, and he fell like lightning, right? He turned him into a volleyball, and he bounced at the speed of light, right? And God don't play. And actually, God wasn't really the one that did it. It was like angels, because God's not going to lower himself to like mess with, you know, Lucifer. It's like, I'm going to have another archangel do that stuff. I'm not going to mess with this, right? I mean, God and Lucifer aren't even on the same, they're not even in the same quadrant. I mean, it's not even, it's hilarious. People are like, well, you know, the devil and God are out there fighting. There is no fight. I mean, it's ridiculous, you know? It's a joke. Genesis chapter 1, and it says, verse 3, and it says, God said, everybody say, God said, and let there be light, and there was still darkness. No. Nothing happened. No. And then there was light. We talked about this last week. And then what does it say? And then what? And God saw the light. So what did he do? He spoke it first, right? And then what's going to happen is, here's the devil in our life. We're going to say light, and the devil's going to go, it sure is dark out there. Uh-huh. Are you sure about that? Boy, I don't know. You may need to get, you know, some Duracells or something, because I don't see any light happening, you know. Where's this light going to come from? And so the enemy's going to have this dialogue with you the whole time. And God doesn't play that game. He just spoke, what? There's a pattern here, and this is very important. See, I just say this. You can read the book of Genesis, and it's going to be a different book every time you read it. I'm telling you, that's what happened to me supernaturally. Every time I pick up Genesis and I read the book of Genesis, it is absolutely a different book. I will see things in my God, where have I been the whole time, right? It's just, the more I learn, the more I'm like, I don't know nothing. You know? The more you learn, the more wisdom you get, you're like, I am really dumb compared to everything out there, God. I just don't know. Just throw me some scraps. I'm just happy with that, okay? But if you see, God, God said, let there be light. So he spoke light, right? And then what? There was light. And then guess what? He saw the result of it. Yeah. Can we say this? God cannot lie, and the reason why things happen for God is because he believes his word. You wonder why nothing happens for the devil and liars? Because they don't believe their word. Right. Yeah. And you want to know why people don't follow or trust liars? Because they know that their word is nothing. The Bible says that you are your word, right? That God puts his word above himself. Why? Because if his word is no good, he is no good. That's why God puts so much value on his word when he says something. That's why he gets so angry with the Hebrews, because when he says something, he means he's going to back it up and it's going to happen. But they're too busy grumbling and complaining about stuff to actually obey God, right? I'm going to deliver you. I don't know. Really? Like God and Pharaoh and the Egyptians, like there's any contest at all? What a joke, you know? What a laugh. God said, I'm going to deliver you. It's going to happen, it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And they got the Hebrews, they got this still this slavery mentality, right? See, that'll destroy you, having a slavery mentality. Not have a kingdom mentality, not have a righteousness mentality, it's going to absolutely destroy your faith with God. It's going to destroy your relationship. It all goes back to like the prodigal son. I don't know how I'll come off on all this stuff, but I'm going to go with it anyway. But the prodigal son, you'll see Jesus talks about the prodigal son. And the problem was, the prodigal son was, he already had a position with the father, didn't he? And what did he say? Well, I'm just going to go back to see if I can just at least be a servant, maybe get a job and work for him. And that's a lot of Christians have right now. Why? Because their faith isn't in the Father. We want to have Lord, just give me scraps, just do something here. Just. We got to get going here. I got a lot of stuff to go. over tonight, but we're never going to get there, but that's okay. Romans 12:3, let's go there. Romans 12:3. And this is the Amplified Classic. I'm going to read this. If you want to write this down, you can turn there later too, but Amplified Classic says, "For by the grace, unmerited favor of God." What's unmerited favor of God? It means nothing you do is going to deserve the favor that God wants to pour upon you tonight. "Given to me, I warned everyone among you not to estimate and think of himself more highly than he ought to, and not to have an exaggerated opinion of his own importance." Now, this means your ability, right? "But to rate his ability with sober judgment, each according to the degree of what faith apportioned by God to him." God gives you faith. All of us a measure of faith. King James says measure of faith. Appointed faith. So what he's saying here is you are of nothing, but God gives you a measure of faith to believe for, right? Why? Because it's his presence, it's his ability he puts in you. And the devil's always trying to talk you down. No, don't do that. Are you sure? Because when you get to the point where, and this is where people get in trouble, is they think they're healing people, like healing ministers or things like that, you know? That's why I'll say, I lay hands on somebody and they get healed. I'm like, well, praise God, right? Get in dangerous territory when you start thinking it's yourself. If God starts working through you or doing things, you're nothing without him. I'm nothing without him. We know that. So we got to delineate, and we also have to delineate, and this is where we get in faith problems. There's a God side and there's a man side, right? I am to believe in him, but I can't heal somebody. I think people get frustrated because they start getting over on the God side and say, I'm trying to get him healed. That's your problem. We don't heal anybody. We don't do anything. We put our faith in God. We trust him to work things out. Romans 7:9 says, "I was once alive without knowledge, the law." Now, there we go. "But when I commanded, the commandment came, and I understood its meaning. Sin became alive, and I died, since the law sentenced me to death." Now, what this means is, Paul here, this is the reason why we need Christ, is because this, and I kind of explained it last week, but we need to talk about it again. God, and I think this is confusing, the term born again means, when Jesus talked about the born again experience to Nicodemus there in John chapter 3, he says you need to be born again. We are all, our spirits are born perfect when we're babies. Do you understand that? God doesn't send down a sinful baby. He doesn't do that at all, right? Now, your flesh is sinful because you're in this, you know, it's meaning your flesh is, it craves things. But our spirit, when we're babies, we're perfect. But then there's a point where the Apostle Paul says, tells the Romans, that there's a point where you get, the denominations used to call it what we call age of accountability, right? So what it means is you're getting to the point where the age where you are presented with sin, you know it's wrong, and you do it anyway, and you override your conscience. At that point, you're spiritually separated from God. You need to be born again at some point. You need Jesus' salvation to come. That's why babies, if something happens to them, they die, they don't go to hell. They go to heaven. Little kids, if something happens to them. Why? Because they haven't had that experience yet. So that's why we got to be born again. But I just kind of said to talk about, let's look at, and I want to look at Hebrews 13:5. This is kind of some new, well, not new, but just a little different direction tonight. But there's some things here that I want us to, talking about faith, is dare to believe these scriptures, okay? And I know there are people that, you know, deal with loneliness, fear, anxiety, insecurity. Maybe rejection. A lot of people, they feel rejected. But, you know, we really listen to God's word and he speaks things out to us. If we really begin to believe what God says, right? It's just like if I came to Adrienne and said, I love you. And she says, no, you don't. No, I do. Or if I came to the girls or the kids, I kiss them goodnight, and I say, I love you. And they say, no, you don't. Yeah, I do. No, you don't. See, we do that to God all the time, right? When we don't believe his word. I know it's very hurtful for him when we do these things. The Lord spoke to me about, you know, some of these things I was studying one time. And the Holy Spirit was speaking to me about, I was studying just about in Exodus and some other things about the Hebrews. And I'm like, Lord, you know, he would just get so fired up about and angry about, you look at, especially the Old Testament, you see him, he just gets really angry when his children start to, you know, worship false gods. And you just see, like in Judges, you'll see, you know, oh, they were faithful for 60 years. And then after that, then they fell into sin. And then they came back to God. And then they worship idols again. And just all this flip-flopping going on. And you see God is getting upset. And God is a jealous God. He is a very jealous God. But he, you know, people are like, well, God is God insecure? No. He loves us so much, he doesn't want us to go down that trail. Because it's like anything else. If you had a child and they were doing destructive behavior, let's say they were doing drugs or you know, they were doing something, playing with fire, or you know, they had a blowtorch in their a little 3-year-old, you would panic, right? That is destroying you. And that's the same thing when we see God with his Hebrew and we are not believing his word and not running to him, we're destroying ourselves. Because really, outside of God is death. There is no life outside of him. That's why Jesus said in John 10:10, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give life and more abundantly. And so Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness. Here we go. And be content with such things as you have. For he had said, I will what? Never leave thee nor forsake thee. God is never, ever going to leave you. He is never, ever going to leave you. Matthew 28:29 says this, teaching them to observe all things. This is a final hurrah for Jesus at the end of the Gospels. Whosoever I have commanded you, and lo, here we go, I am with you always, even unto the end of the under the world. It doesn't matter where you're at, where you're going, where you've been, God is with you all the time. I remember one time, this is powerful for me, but I had a vision one time, the Lord, I was in prayer, and the Lord just speaking to me, ministering about things. And, you know, I was like, you know, and we've all probably gone through this. And one time I was just sitting there thinking about things like, you know, Lord, I've done this. I've let you down here. I've let you down this. And I missed the mark here, you know, and Lord, you know, this and that. We were talking. And all of a sudden I was with him and I saw the back of him and I turned around and it was me as a little baby, and he was holding me. And then the next scene, I see him. I was about 3 years old, and he's holding my hand, and we're running together. And the thing of it is, it was that he was with me the whole time. And he's with you the whole time. Because he said he never leave you nor forsake you. And, you know, I think too many people, they've been in sin, and they've done things. And I remember Jesse Duplantis talking about, and I've talked to us before, but... And I got saved when I was a little kid, and I had a supernatural experience, which I've never talked about, when I was about 11. It was an open vision. The Lord just had a very dramatic experience when I was younger. The Lord spoke some very specific things to me, and I had a very, very, very just amazing experience with him. And so, and I think it was on purpose, because, you know, the Lord will, like, do have things for you in your life, right? He'll speak things to you at a certain time to help you to stay on. Well, I kind of fell off the wagon and did things. It all came down to, I just didn't understand, right? I just didn't have an understanding of the word. You know, I thought that I missed the mark, that God doesn't want anything to do with me anymore. You know, how am I going to, you know, how am I ever, you know, going to be used by God, and just different things. And I remember sitting in this just horrible place one time, and God opened my eyes to something, and he just supernaturally, and he's done this a few times with me, but like a person talks, like I'm talking now, it was an audible voice he spoke to me about things about my life. See, he was still chasing me in that time of my lowest point. He was still with me, and he's still with you. He's never going to leave. He's never, everybody say that together. He's never going to leave me. Say it one more time. He's never going to leave me. I mean, he'll go to the ends of the earth to get you, to pull you out of whatever situation you're in. And you can all sit back and think about maybe a situation you were in, and you're just like, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. I mean, how's my life going to turn around? And you know what? It's just like anything else. I really believe that people are sitting here. You're a miracle sitting here. I'm a miracle sitting here. I should have died a few times, right? And God still delivered me. He still saved me and rescued me. And I look back, I'm like, you know what? If that would have happened there, I may not have made it. But it's by his mercy, and he's what? Never leave me and never forsake me. He showed me all the times he's protected me and done things for me, and I just never, ever saw those things and revealed those things to me. Years later, he's like, I was there with you. I was there with you, and I was there with you, and I was protecting you from these things. And he said, he never leave me and never forsake me. He's never going to leave you and forsake you. And unfortunately, instead of just reading the Bible, he had to show me that supernaturally, all of the things that happened to me. He's like, I was there, and it's by his grace. And you know the whole thing with us? And Jesse Duplantis talks about this too, where he's in a bar one time and God was speaking to him audibly and you know, everything else too. And I had that happen to me. And I didn't know Jesse Duplantis at the time. I didn't know anything about that. And then I'm listening to his testimony. I'm like, hey, that happened to me, you know? God will drag you out of the lousiest, trashiest places because he's like, that's my kid. He belongs to me. I'm not letting him go.
That's right.
Amen? And he's not going to let you go tonight. Psalms 23:6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. And I'm going to stop right here. I know you're not supposed to add to the Bible or anything. Even when you're in the worst places, right? It says, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know what? When you're with God and you love him, it is just sometimes you don't have two pennies to rub together. But you know what? You're still in the goodness of God. Right?
Amen.
People I know that have a lot of money and they have horrible lives. So we know that he's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. He's going to be always with you. He's going to be with you to the ends of the earth, right?
Yeah.
If he is always with you and he's never going to leave you, right? Why should we feel lonely? Never.
Mm-hmm.
Why should we feel depressed? Never. John 14:23. Man, I love the scripture. I mean, when you begin to talk, there's like so much joy in me because when I talk about these things, you know, you don't dwell on those things that you made mistakes on, but you're like, God, thank you so much because at any point I could have slipped into eternity and it would have been all over for me.
Yep.
And it's his mercy. Yep. John 14:23 says, Jesus replied, this is the Living Bible, because I will only reveal myself to those who love me and obey me. Here we go. The Father will love them too, and we will come and live with them. You want to see a move of God? You guys ready? Here we go. See that? Want to see anyone? I'm going to go this way. Right? Why? I'm not God, but he lives in me. Right? He lives in you. And he goes with me wherever I go, right? It's like my shadow. There's me, there's him. There's me, right? God's in me, right? Oh, God, I hope you show up sometime. Right here he says he's going to be in me, right? We're out there begging for God, like SOS flags. Oh, help, Jesus. The Titanic's sinking. Help, we're all going down. And he's like, I'm right here. I didn't go anywhere, right? Now, how many, I mean, you know, it's easy. That's why the Bible says, forgetting all of his benefits and a testimony. Why do you think that as the Hebrews came through, the promised land, and other things in the Bible. We see Abraham, we see that there was altars created. Why? Because it was a testimony of what God did at that point, so every person that walked by would see it. And it was they were monumenting what God did, so it would burn it in people's minds, right? We see that a medical sign where it's a serpent on the staff, which was something that God had, you know, had Moses do. Wasn't to worship it, it was to proclaim that he was the healer. God does things so it'll burn things in your mind to do things to help you connect the dots. And the devil wants to get you over here distracted about, oh, all of these terrible things happening. God's like, I'm right here. Remember that last time you were completely broke and you got in a mess and I delivered you? Yeah, we can do that again. All right? I'm not bankrupt in heaven. All right? It's okay. Oh, but God, you don't understand. It's like, okay, no, I've raised people from the dead. It's going to be all right. James 1:5. We're going to close here in just a minute. All right? Anybody bored?
Nope.
I'm not. You're okay? All right. James 1, 5, and 6. Amen. I'm preaching myself pretty happy tonight. I'll tell you what, right now. Because it's not me, it's God. His word is so good. And he loves all of us so much. If any of you is deficient in wisdom. How many could use a little more wisdom? I know I could. Yeah, that'd be nice. Right? Knowledge is information. Wisdom is knowing what to do with it. Let me just say this. There's all kinds of knowledge on the internet, but there's zero wisdom, right? I mean, it's just like, it'll tell you how to skin a cat 12 ways, but what do you do with that after that, right? It just doesn't give you any wisdom to do anything. If any of you is deficient in wisdom, let him ask of the giving God, who gives to every one liberally and ungrudgingly, without reproach or fault finding. Isn't that great? God doesn't go, oh, I'm sorry. Can't give to you today. Boy, you messed up here. You messed up there. Just like the prodigal son, when the father came out, it wasn't like, well, you kind of blew all the money. You're kind of an idiot. You really screwed things up, right? You know, you smell terrible, by the way. You know, you need to take a bath. You couldn't have taken a bath before you came in here. No, he got a coat. He threw it on him. He put a ring on his finger. Killed the fatted calf. Awesome. Just didn't care. Just like, man, I'm just glad he's back. That's the way God is. Just, I love you so much, it didn't matter. Right? In heaven, nobody's like, well, you know what? Down there, you didn't do this, and you didn't do this, and you didn't do this. I guarantee you in heaven, nobody cares about that stuff anymore. Right? They're just like, they're glad you're there. In hell, they're glad you're there, and in heaven, they're glad you're there. I'd rather be on the glad you're there in heaven, though, right? Psalms 9:9, it says, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed. Here we go. A refuge in what? Times of trouble. It doesn't matter what you're going through. He's there. He's going to be a refuge for you, right? Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. But my God shall supply all your needs according to riches and glory through Christ Jesus. He said he'd supply our needs, right? Mm-hmm. We're seeing, well, Adrian just talked about that earlier. Guy was praying in a in a wooden log, and squirrels come along, bring him food, you know? We see there Elijah. Ravens were bringing him food, you know? It was funny. I mean, you can't speculate, but I've heard some other ministers saying, you know, because it was, you know, Ahab and Jezebel at the time were, you know, king and queen. And it's a debate who was king or queen at the back time. But anyway, it's a joke. But I think Jezebel was the king and Ahab was the queen. But people were like, yeah, we bet probably the ravens went to his dinner and took his food and brought it to Elijah, right? He'll do whatever he wants to. Galatians 3:13 and 14, we'll end here tonight. I promise. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. This is shouting. I'm telling you what, he has redeemed. What is the curse of the law? It means when you sin, you have spiritual death, physical death, poverty, and disease come upon you. You are opening yourself up to that. He has redeemed us from that. Being made a curse for us, he became the curse for us. He took it for us. What is written, curse is everyone that hangs on a tree. Here we go. That the blessing of Abraham might come onto the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. What Jesus did on the cross, he went through and he took all of the blessings of the Old Testament, right? Because I'm a dirty Gentile. I'm not a clean Hebrew. So I'm a dirty, scroungy, unclean, Gentile. So what he did was he took everything, the blessings that God put on Abraham, he took those, and Jesus took all those, gave them to me, and more blessings. What are some of the other blessings? Baptism of the Holy Spirit. Right? That the Spirit that was only on the prophet, priest, and king in the Old Testament at certain times now lives on me all the time. And can live on you all the time. Isn't that cool? Yeah. So all the stuff that Abraham had, all the blessings, right? Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, all of the Hebrew names of God are now encapsulated into one, which is King Jesus. We say King Jesus, we say Jesus. All of those things that encapsulize the Jehovah in the Old Testament, that's mine now. And that's yours. I'm going to jump and shout or do something here in a minute. I'm telling you what right now. but we can have all those things because of Jesus. And so there's no need to be depressed anymore. No need to be discouraged anymore. Nothing, right? Because the greater one lives in me and he lives in you if you're born again. And how do we born again? Oh, I'm sorry. One more scripture. Excuse me. Romans 10. Romans 10, 9 and 10. I want to read it. And it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart. Do you think God believed in Genesis 1 in his heart that light was going to come? You better believe he did. And it happened. That God is raising from the dead, and you'll be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So that's why people, they think, well, I said the sinner's prayer. No. That scripture says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I mean, you can say anything you want to, right?
Yeah, right.
I mean, police hear that all the time. I didn't do anything, right? Yeah, you did. You did. You stole it, right? I remember one time we had a when I was a kid, we had a statue. I have no idea. It was my mom's aunt's house. She passed away. We moved into this house when I was a kid. And she had a statue of a donkey in the backyard with a little cart behind it. Yeah, it was all concrete, right? Okay, it was the ugliest thing you ever seen. But anyway, we just we left it there, and it was just ugly as sin. But anyway, it was this little thing. It was concrete. And so I was in my bedroom one time, had my feet left up, the window down, and all of a sudden I see this clown walking with that donkey past my window. Broad daylight, wasn't real smart anyway. So I knew the guy. We called the police. And he's like, I didn't take it. And it's sitting right there on his front porch next to him. I was like, well, that's amazing because we've got the exact cart that goes with a donkey in our yard, right? It's like, hey, Sherlock, you didn't think this thing through, did you? So anyway, but the point is this, that, we have to believe it in our heart, don't we? We can say anything we want to, but it all comes down to believing it in our heart. And it's easy because God's good. Father, we thank you for this time together, Lord Jesus. I thank you for these precious people. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Lord, I pray tonight that we have a revelation of you, your goodness, and your mercy on us tonight, Lord God. And you love us so much. We just praise you tonight, Lord. We thank you. You never leave us. You never forsake us, Lord. You're so good. That we would begin to have a revelation of you. That we don't have to work ourselves up to do anything. But as we continue to have fellowship with you, that your spirit changes our want to. That your spirit changes our thinking. That we no longer want to do the things of the old man, but we just want to be with you now. We want to follow you. We want to be more like you. And Jesus, we want to walk in your steps. Thank you, Jesus. How many want to walk in his steps tonight? Amen.
Yes.
Jesus, we thank you.
Thank you.
Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. We always want to open up for prayer. Anybody needs prayer afterwards, we always want to pray with you. Amen. You know, if you want to, you know, questions about being born again, like we talked about, or even baptized in the Holy Spirit, if you don't pray in the Spirit, if you have no idea what that even means, we want to share with you. We want to pray with you about any of this stuff. Amen. So wonderful. Hallelujah. Well, have a great week.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.